Welcome, Bess Strzelecki, to the podcast today. Bess and I are going to cover a lot of bases today, including evolutionary astrology, her energy healing work, runes, mediumship, animal communication, and past life regression. If you're anything like me, you are continually amazed by these new modalities being offered and the perfect way guests bring them together. Listen in today to learn how Bess uses these tools and technologies in addition to her cultivated intuition, in order to help clients on their path. We'll see you in the episode.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm sitting with Bess Strzelecki. And I always like to give a shout out as to where the heck the guest came from. And Amy Heyerman was so gracious to say, I think that Bess would be great for your podcast. And we did a reading. We were trying to figure out when a couple years ago, but I really do believe in the divine timing of it all. And that, you know, like now I'm in the 120s with my episodes, and that Bess, you've come at, for some reason, just the right time. So welcome here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'll say just a moment more about you so people can familiarize with your background. And this is reading from really the bio on the website, but you have a wide range of modalities that you've learned that you tap into now for your work, including evolutionary astrology, energy healing, yoga, meditation, herbalism, runes, tarot, shamanism, animal communication, and mediumship. And just using these different lines of kind of lineage and work and just into what you infuse into your work. You graduated from Georgetown University's Moore School of Business, interesting start, and spent several years working in finance at a hedge fund of funds and later as an executive recruiter. So you've got this business background that, you know, probably really caters to what you're doing too, in some senses. I believe in those, there's a reason for everything. And then just this beautiful piece that you and your husband had moved from New York City down to Pennsylvania. And if we have time today, just talking about the farm you live on and the retreats you offer through this beautiful piece of property. So that's a little bit about you. And I just, again, a big hearty welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be here.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, we got to meet last week and talk for a while and just could not stop that conversation. But, you know, maybe I feel like, you know, a good place to sometimes start is, how did you begin to do the work that you're doing now? Because just by sharing, like, okay, maybe Bess had a more traditional upbringing in terms of the line of work or the cadence of your life earlier, right? Going to college, like high school, college, you doing the things. And how the heck do you find yourself sitting here talking to me about evolutionary astrology and related?
Yeah. And I think that's sort of one of the, you know, one of the frustrations that I had. I was always really interested in psychics, mediums, you know, spirit, the things. But I grew up, my conditioning was sort of like, my mom was raised very Catholic. You know, it was like much more conservative that way. But I think, you know, I wasn't someone who was like born with a bunch of gifts or just like had this thing. You know, I always like could see spirits when I was four. You know, you hear about those healers that are amazing. I mean, that's amazing for them that they did that. That was not my path at all. And I just wanted to be really clear that like intuition and this path is available to everyone. And you don't have to be born with these gifts. Like, yes, we're all born with certain gifts, but like you can just choose to have an interest and then develop them. And I really worked for mine, I think. And some was, yeah, spirit led. And sure, you could say I was born with certain things, but it wasn't, that wasn't my path, right? And so in 2012, just out of interest, I got into yoga teaching, took a teacher training just to learn more, not even really to teach, which I am doing now. But then like sitting there in meditation, I had a really hard time. And I was like sitting there waiting for enlightenment, and I'm like, this is a bunch of BS. Like, what are we doing here? And a friend had said, hey, have you ever tried Reiki? It might give you something to do with your hands in the meditation. And I said, no, I've never heard of it. And he came over to teach it to me. And that was my first clairvoyant experience, like out of the blue. I mean, I saw, like, as clearly as I'm seeing you, like a purple mist. I saw a symbol. Like, I told him what I saw, and he was like, oh, those were the symbols I put into your aura through this ritual. And I think you're going to really take to energy healing. And, you know, I saw a bright white light, had tears streaming down my face. It was like, I mean, that was wild to me. And that's when I really knew, like, this is real. This is not, you know, this is not a joke. And anyway, long story short, I got connected to a medium who basically, after that teacher, you know, after learning Reiki, I had started doing it, and I had been sending it because you can send it over distance, you can do it in person. And she said, you're sending it to people without asking permission. And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. And she's like, no, it's like very different than sending love, sending prayers. You can do that all day long, and that has its own power. But Reiki is a very specific healing energy, and you have to ask permission if you can, you know, if possible. And I was like, oh, okay. She said, you need to go study with this woman, Raven Keys. And so I started studying with her, and she had done a lot of work with during 9/11. She was another really interesting individual who went down there like during the crisis, and they, you know, I think it was like the chief of police or chief of the fire department were like, lady, we do not have time for this woo-woo BS. And she was like, just get on my table. This heals physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Wow.
If you don't like what I do, like, I will pack up and leave. And he got on her table, he got off and told his men to line up. And she
Oh.
worked there for months. And like at the end, they gave her one of the keys to the Twin Towers. But she wrote a book. And so I studied with her, and she then connected me to a shaman in England and said, hey, I think you should go. I'm taking a few people. You have to be approved to go, but I think you should put your, you know, your hat in the ring. And I got approved. I just went for like shits and giggles, you know. I didn't really know what I was going there. I met him. His name's Tim Raven. He's amazing. He's a Norse and Celtic shaman. And, you know, I was there with people who were very far along in their spiritual journey, or and were operating as active shamans and active healers. And I was sort of like, yoo-hoo, like,
Right.
I don't really have it here. But by the end of the trip, he pulled me aside, and he was like, listen, you are basically the female version of me. I see that now, and you need to, like, you're on a path now, and you're not really going to get off. And I thought he was full of it, and I pretty much told him so. But long story short, I basically put myself at his feet for the next 10 years and studied with him. And he taught me. I would go over to Glastonbury, England, once or twice a year when possible, when I wasn't pregnant or whatever. And he taught me how to commune with the land. He taught me how to commune with spirits. He taught me how to do divination with the runes and healing with the runes. He taught me how to cast circle, put myself in a protective space. Like, you know, it was kind of terrifying when you start de dealing with spirits, and what does that mean? And are there demons? Are there good spirits? Like, how do you just differentiate? But anyway, that's where I started to get my training. And then, long story short, and I will make this as like not long-winded as possible, Maureen, I got really sick in 2020, which apparently there's like a shamanic initiation where you almost die and then you get reborn and you get even further on the path. And I think ultimately that's what was happening. But I mean, I was sick to the point that I was like, I knew I was going to die. I had lost 20 or 30 pounds. I was covered in rashes. I couldn't mentally function. And I've been working at I was at a corporate job that I had to go on medical leave for. I went to doctors, and they were, you know, extremely patronizing and said, there's nothing wrong with you. Your vitamin B's a little low, your vitamin D's a little low. We can put you on an antidepressant. And I was like, look, I'm a pretty good student of psychology. I'm not reeling from an emotional trauma. There's something physically wrong. And they were like, well, we can't find it. And by the summer, like, I mean, I was basically like on a couch. I couldn't get up. I had kids that were 1 and 3. My husband was taking care of the barn, the animals. I couldn't feed myself. I was down to 5 foods I could comfortably eat. Like, I was hypoglycemic to the point of going into a coma that I like wouldn't have woken up out of if I kept going that direction. And so, long story short, I heard the name of an astrologer in my head, like, repeatedly, that a friend had given me the year before. And she was expensive. She lived in LA. I was like, I'm not, you know, I'm not. But at that point, it was like, well, what do I have to lose here, right? So I called her. She looked at my chart and she said, you should really study with me. I think you came back to be an astrologer in this life, and you're gonna have clients within 2 months. And I was like, bitch, you are nuts. Like, I am actually dying. Okay, you're not gonna con me into like spending money studying with you. And I've heard that it took like 10 years to study astrology. My grandmother was an astrologer and I loved it by nature. But I avoided it. I studied all the other things, the shamanism, the tarot, which incorporates astrology, the numerology, they're all interconnected. But I had stayed away from the astrology because I knew it was a bunch of numbers, a bunch of math, a bunch of angles. I thought I was too stupid to do it, honestly. Too complicated. So I let go. That was the last thing I was expecting. And she said, listen, you're Neptune by house and sign and the angles. It is, you're basically a psychic medium, whether you know it or not. You get downloads all day long. You're highly intuitive, but it also makes you sensitive to molds, toxins, poisons, gases, alcohol. She said, transiting Neptune, which is the planet of water, is transiting your fourth house, which is home. So you need to go have your water tested and you need to go have your home tested for water damage, i.e., mold. And then we found 30 times the allowable levels of mold in our home, including black mold and ochre toxin, and that's what was killing me. So once that happened, it was like, okay, I might be a sample size of one here, but that saved my life. We moved out, we had to renovate the whole house. I lived with my in-laws for 4 months, and I went on a whole healing journey, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, which I now use a lot of what I learned to help others in their own healing journey. A lot around the nervous system, rewiring your nervous system, a lot around spiritual excavation, including like past life healing to, feel the effects in this life. And I started studying with her. And then basically that's how I got connected to evolutionary astrology, which is, it was a system founded by Geoffrey Wolf Green. And the difference with traditional astrology versus evolutionary, which I like, which there are many different forms of astrology, and I will not, there are plenty of people who poo-poo Vedic astrology versus what. Like, I will not poo-poo any types of astrology. I think, there's different astrologers, many paths, one truth, whatever is the system that gets you to where you can help people, great. But what I really like about this system is it was channeled to him. It came in a dream from Sri Yukteswar, which was Yogananda's guru. And in a dream, he had this fully formed astrology paradigm gifted to him. And he tested it for years. And finally, his clients were like, you have to put this in a book. And he was like, oh, I don't have the time or the resources or the money. And they're like, what do you need? And he told him what he needed, and they wrote him a check. And he sat down and he basically like wrote the book
It's
like that,
amazing.
right? And the paradigm is about the soul and the soul's evolutionary journey. So in a natal reading, like in reading your and understanding your astrology chart, you're getting to the root of the soul and your evolution and why you're here, what gifts you're bringing, any past life traumas that come along with that are here to be sort of, worked and dealt with, and then, how you can implement that. And so that's a long-winded answer for you,
Oh.
Maria, but
I've
that's
got
how
so many questions. I want to go back because it was such a beautiful answer and kind of started when, you began your path of like, oh, I'm just going to do yoga. And I think that that's the cool thing. And it's like kind of funny when you look back, like, oh, I
was my
just,
gateway drug.
right. I was exactly like, it was yoga. And then I'm just going to like do some Reiki or, and then at the same time, I have a question. Were you working the finance executive like at the same time? And what was going on in your mind or your psyche during that time? Like, because it's a little bit of a split life.
Totally, totally. Yes, that's exactly. You have like one foot in both worlds. And the, I will say I got a lot of grief from a lot of spiritual people who kept telling me, you need to quit your job and you have to do this work. And if you're not doing this, you're not doing your dharma and da da da. But I trusted, and I would ask, I would cast the runes and say, like, am I supposed to leave now? And they're like, no. Every time I cast, it was like, you're protected here, you're meant to be here, your energy is most supposed to be grounded here, you're supposed to be affecting and influencing and helping heal. And I basically was like, I don't know if like sleeper cell is the right word, but I would have people come to me in the corporate environment that would like sneak up to my cubicle and be like, I remember my mom from a previous life and I was told you could help me with that. And then there's like conversations, what I mean? And they'd be like, don't tell anyone, it was like unspoken. It was like, go to best with your weird things, but don't, like, she won't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody you're going to help. But at the same time, I feel like there is, you have to trust the timing of when you're, where you're meant to be and when. And so I have a hard time because I work with a lot of healers who feel like if they're doing something corporate, then it's going against the grain of their soul. And it may be, right? Like that's a very individual thing, but I don't think we should have judgment for people who are bringing the spiritual. I would do a prayer before almost every search that I find the right person for the role and the right role for the person and the highest and best. And I would call in angels, I would call in guides, and I would put out that intention. And so I very much brought my spiritual
Powerful.
practice into the corporate world.
Yes. I like that. Thank you for pointing that out. And I think that a lot of people, you know, can walk away thinking like, oh, my day job, like let's say they're interested in these kind of things and spirituality and everything. And they might think they might get a judgment from somebody else, like, oh, that's you're just going through the motions, right? But there's the reality too that we can work just about anywhere and bring in our giftedness, like our uniqueness, we can shine that way. Because also not everybody has the ability to leave that corporate job or leave their 9 to 5 kind of thing. So I've thought about that a lot too. It's just like, oh my gosh, because I interview so many people who they shifted. They're doing this full time. And so it can be
And that's
both.
great. Absolutely. And there, I mean, I have made the shift too, and I'm attempting to do this full time as well and really loving it. But it was like there was a time and a place for that. And there was a reason. Like a lot of times you can really ground and anchor, and it can provide sort of that, you know, that root chakra support. It's like, do I have food on my table and a roof over my head? And then once I feel really grounded, then I can pull in some of the higher spirituality stuff because I'm grounded and anchored and I feel really safe. It's like a safe thing. And yeah, and then there's times when it tips the scales and you stay in a place that's too long, that's no longer serving your energy, where you're not able to share your light in the most meaningful ways. And so then just trusting that the universe will, or God, goddess, like whatever you want to call it, will guide you where you need to go with the people you need to interact with. And you know, I think about this too. Tim pointed out to me once there's a druid in England, and he was like, he is one of the most powerful, like spiritually powerful people I know as a druid, and he cleans toilets for a living. You would never know.
And so, yes, that living amongst us, right? I was telling a friend that recently I think I was down in my kid's college town, and this man who was living on the streets at the time, he came past me, and I swear to God, he said the word Elohim. And that's a word that just more recently came into my orbit. And I was like, wait, what? And then I told my friend, and she said, yeah, we sometimes like this kind of spirit messages can come from anywhere. It just, you know, there's we cannot make judgment of anything
That's
really.
great.
So I would like to dive deeper into evolutionary astrology. But I also want to like talk about just the different things. I have zero background in runes. Please
Okay.
tell me more.
Oh yeah. Really? They're an alphabet. They're, you know, of the Norse tradition, and they are, so can be used as an alphabet, right? More plainly. But they're also can be used as a divination tool. And they're, I mean, I can pull out my runes. They are most powerful when you make them yourself. They're usually on wood, on stone, on crystals, whatever. Mine are on ash. That is sort of my wood. And they're, you can see they're, you know,
Oh,
they're art,
wow.
basically. But you can chant them. They have really high, very, you know, they have their own vibration, like through sound, through, you know, the structure of the writing. You can use them in divination. You can cast them, you can pull them like you would tarot cards. They're older than tarot cards, I believe. And then you can use them in healing. They have an energy. They each have an energy to them, and they have representations of, they're connected to herbs, they're connected to spirit animals, they're connected to, you know, a lot of,
Wow.
they're very multifaceted, and they are very powerful. It's like really the only way I know to do this. But I love that you can use them in healing, which really differentiates them from the tarot. And so, yeah, I think, you know, astrology is something that has to be combined with your intuition. And so, you know, when I was studying the astrology and I was learning, and if there were things I couldn't see from the chart, then I had other tools. I could go to the tarot, I could go to the runes and ask more pointed questions and get what I needed to know to be able to help somebody in the reading.
Yes. And during those times too, I'm imagining that you really started to create a practice. Like even in the beginning when you said, I actually worked for this. It was not some like lightning bolt out of nowhere. Like I wanted this for myself. Like I wanted to
Yeah.
cultivate this part of myself.
Yeah, just like through curiosity, and you just kind of follow your curiosity and see where it leads you. And then, you know, what I really loved, The right teachers, right, will always push you back to yourself. It's not like a dependence. You don't feel dependency on them, but they'll also, they'll say, Tim would say to me, "Don't believe me because I tell you this. Go have the courage to test it. Do it. Learn for yourself. You're going to learn by doing." And once you build trust with your tools, with your intuition, with your experience, then that becomes a truth that no one can take from you, and you just keep building from there. And that's what I've done. I've had a lot of teachers. I have a lot of Gemini in my chart, so I'm always looking for more knowledge, more teachers, more teachings. But and some good, some not good, but you just pull out and you just keep building on
I love that. Yeah, I think that I haven't done many astrology readings or, much of them. And I know that I'm Cancer, Sun, and Moon. Like that's my chart. And I don't know if I'm even saying that correctly, but Gemini rising. And I remember the woman telling me that that's of you want more knowledge, you want more information, you want more. And that's definitely, she also said, like, you're in your head a lot. And I'm like, oh, that's so true. And so I don't know a lot, but I do know
I love
that.
that. Oh, I don't have your chart on me, Maureen, but yeah, that yes. The problem is you can get lost in the Gemini, right? Where it's like more, more, more. It's never enough. You're constantly pulling from too many places, and you like the goal is to then reach for the polarity, which is Sag, which is like finding a common thread of truth, and then not feeling like you need to constantly go outside yourself, but you start to integrate it within yourself and your intuition, so you sense of teachings.
I feel like I'm in that part of the process of turning inward, and I had a question about that. So, yeah, because I think many of us too, we like you said, like I love to get readings, I love to do this. And so, is the gut, are we coming back home to ourselves, to knowing these just different aspects of ourselves, like our feelings, our like we can talk about past regression a little bit, like, but the ancestry and lineage we hold, and just these different aspects that we become almost, we're not the expert in everything around us, but we're the expert in ourselves.
And I think, like, I love the saying that's like, once you start paying attention to the universe starts paying attention to you. It like opens the portal to magic, right? So that you're not, and the astrology is a really brilliant way to do that. It's like trying to understand, know that there are cycles. The heavens are this representation of order and patterns, and it's like learning a language, and it's your the blueprint, the snapshot of the sky when you were born creates a bit of a blueprint. And that doesn't mean it's fatalistic. It means that there's going to be certain energies that are going to have a tendency to operate a certain way. And then it's how you use them, right? Like, so it's becoming, I think we all want to live more consciously, right? So that we don't end up being an extra in someone else's movie. It's like we want main character energy. And I feel like studying your astrology chart gives you main character energy where you can go like, okay, I can really own this. And then to be informed is, it helps, right? So then the planets are all, and the asteroids, nodes in the moon, whatever, like whatever you look at in astrology, they're all moving in this beautiful pattern. And then to understand where they are and how they're interacting with your chart gives you that awareness to be more conscious with how to work with them, right? It's like, I like the analogy that, a planet is kind of like a guest that comes knocking at your door, and you're better off like inviting them in and sitting them down for dinner and like opening up a conversation and seeing how you can collaborate and coordinate than like barring the door because they're just going to come knock at the window. And so it's like once you start to get to understand the cycles and the rhythms and how this, can work with you, you can have the wind at your back instead of feeling like you're pushing a ball, a rolling a ball uphill, right? And so I think that's how I view it. Look, the thing I have like a really hard time with is it feels like everybody's an astrologer these days, and there's so much more access, which is amazing, right? Because it used to be something that it was like the kings and queens had access to. It was so hard to construct an astrology chart and to get that knowledge. And now it's so easy, which is such a gift, right? Like you can open an app and there's your chart. It's not like it's not hard. But because there's so much noise around it now, and there's, social media, and it becomes so sensationalized, there's a lot of fear around it too. Like I had a friend call the other day and she was like, I got a new job opportunity, but it's the Scorpio full moon. And I read on this app that that's really, it scared her. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, and that's where you need an integral astrologer to be able to sit down, hone the energy, and say, no, Scorpio
Yes,
full moon is also
absolutely.
about like you could look at that and say, tensions have reached a pitch. Emotionally, you cannot stay in this stuck place anymore. It's time for a transformation and rebirth, and a new career would 100% do that. And when I felt into her going for that, it felt so good. So that's, yeah, does that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that also is, I can speak from my own experience. I think the things that have been challenges in my own life, I've always thought it's a Maureen problem. It's all, you know how like that we can just do a number on ourselves and like, why can't I get over this? And why can't I? And I started to think about like, because I was watching my favorite show for the second time, Another Self. It's about, that's a lot about the family constellations and family lineages. I think we were talking about that last week. But then I kind of am coming to the place of like, oh, what if there were more to this? And I think it makes perfect sense because I feel like I'm on a path, and Mystical Sisterhood has been my great teacher of moving from separation, duality to unity, and like having so many guest women on that are just, they're exemplifying it in this energy of like, how do we work together in the oneness, and the that it's also indicative like that I'm more one with myself, I think. I just feel like we're coming into this time that is, it feels like more of a oneness, more of a, how can we turn to these tools? And Bess, what I hear you saying too is, how do we maintain integrity with it as these modalities are growing more exponentially than they ever have? And I really feel like that's why I've really begun to turn to people saying, Maureen, this person would be great for the podcast, because they know me. They know that this is a space of integrity. And then I think that that's what I'm going to attract. And I'm just like really honed in, kind of careful about that now. So that's, I'm saying a lot there, but
I love that. And I would say it's a double-edged sword, right? Like there is, when you engage in a reading, it's like there's the responsibility of the reader to be operating in integrity with spirit for the highest good. To, you know, the prayer is that the right words come through for this person's benefit, right? But then there's also the integrity of the reader to, one, not hand over their power completely, take responsibility for what feels right, and you know, forget the rest, and not blindly follow either. I mean, I had an interesting situation September of last year. My husband's a financial advisor. He's like very scientifically smart, and we went to a wedding, and one of his really best clients was at this wedding, and he's a man who designs, you know, builds and sells airplanes and races them. And his story was phenomenal. And as an astrologer, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have to know this man's chart, you know? And so I asked him, I'm like, can you please give me your birth data? Like, this is a really weird thing just to ask my husband's business partner. I'm like, please, I need to know. And he was like, I don't believe in astrology. And my husband said to him, I don't either, but you should still give her your data because she's really good. And I was like, well, okay. Did aliens like overtake my, you know, science husband? But he gave me his data and I started reading his chart. And through the end of the night, I, you know, and we were like having fun at this wedding, whatever. It was not really the time or the place to do this, but I didn't, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I told him, I said, what's happening in 2 weeks? And he said, oh, there's a race where 250 pilots are licensed to fly in this race, and it's the last one of its kind in Nevada. And I said, well, I think you're gonna. He said, I'm flying in it. And I said, I think you're going to win this race. And he said, no, my plane is retired. Like that engine blew up. I'm flying a backup plane. And I was like, it feels like you have an ace up your sleeve, and whatever scheme you've got going, it's going to pay off. His transits remind me of when Tiger Woods won the first Masters. And I told him this. And anyway, long story short, the next morning I woke up in a full blown panic. Like full blown panic. I was like, okay, none of this is good. Either he doesn't win, and now he thinks his financial advisor is married to some like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs woman, or he like goes for this crazy scheme and ends up dead, which two pilots died in that race, like, you know, going for it. And that lovely wife of his that I just met is going to be a, you know, widow. I was like, or, you know, like, what is my responsibility in this to tell someone or encourage? You know, I took a lot of responsibility for it. It was really horrible. I shut down my website. I stopped doing readings for months, and I didn't hear anything, like, diddly squat for weeks. And then he went to lunch with my husband and showed up with this trophy. That's when I had to go do my own, past life regression work to find the root of that terror for me. And the understanding that, like, my job is to just tune in and to try and help. And it is not my responsibility what someone chooses to do with that either,
Okay.
right?
Yes. Oh, what a powerful example. Yeah. And it's so funny when we go through things like that and like, would you have done anything differently?
Yeah.
Maybe not, right? I
Well, I
mean,
mean,
did you learn those big lessons?
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I love that actual, like, I think you're a great storyteller and like just like bringing those stories forth. You have mentioned a couple times the past life regressions and weaving those in. First of all, I think the night of the wedding, you must have been guided in some way to do what you did. But do people come a lot and say, like, oh, I'm just going to do an astrology reading with Bess? And then they kind of are like, oh my gosh, there's so much more here.
Yeah.
And then you can get into the other work of past life regressions and whatever they are kind of
Yeah. And
needing.
it's very different for each person I find. And I actually at one point had on my website the mediumship and the past life regressions and the
Yeah.
this and that. And I took it off and sort of streamlined it to like astrology and energy work primarily. And if the rest of this, but there are people, I read for a woman last week whose mom had just passed, and it's like her mom showed up in the reading and it was very clear, and she gave us all these images, and there was a cat hanging out, and I was like, what is this cat doing here? And she was like, oh, that's the cat that was on the picture of her obituary. She hated cats, but that cat refused to leave her alone. And it's just like, whatever, like that can come in. Sometimes people have a pet, and then I end up doing some animal communication with the pet for them, and it's just weird and random that way. You can see general past life themes through the Pluto placement and the nodal axis in someone's chart. And generally, I tune in before each session that I do, and I ask, is there a past life energy that is still showing itself in this person's current life that needs to be remediated? And I have gotten instances where I had one that showed up that said that this woman who came to me had died on a slave ship, and she didn't die on the actual ship. She had thrown herself overboard and she died in the ocean. And I asked her, generally, if there's an energy that's still lingering, you will have very strong feelings about the ocean. You will either be like incredibly drawn to it or incredibly terrified. And in her case, it was a mixture of both. She said, I am absolutely terrified of open water. I have no reason to be in this life, but I force myself to do open water swims twice a year to conquer that fear. And
Okay.
once she sort of correlated it back to that past life, the healing that happens, the ease, the shift energetically that starts to happen with the ocean is there. And then in rare cases, like I will get actual information on who they were specifically if they had a famous past life. And generally there's like a, if you have Sun conjunct the South Node or Pluto conjunct the South Node or like a planetary, an interesting planetary coordination, I never know what they're going to say. I just, I use my shamanic tools for that and my intuition, and then it just pops up. And generally, like it has been confirmed in really weird ways, and it's always wild and humbling for me
Right.
to see,
Yeah.
right?
It's so cool. Yes, absolutely. And so the past life regressions, that's so interesting because that, like, when you're, are you just seeing that, Bess? Are you guiding someone through a process too?
So that generally, sometimes knowing is enough to just sort of start to shift the energy. If there's still lingering unconscious fears or lingering trauma, or someone feels like really stuck in an emotional pattern, or we call it being an affect, where like you have an irrational response to something that's not warranted, right? And so you're like, there's no rational reason for this. I shouldn't be overreacting. And you can't help yourself. You can't mentally work yourself through it. You can't emotionally work yourself through it. So in those cases, I have found past life regression to be an amazing tool to guide someone through the trauma, get the understanding of what happened, and then guide them through the healing that's necessary for that life and for them as an individual soul. And then they can kind of move on. And that it can be a transformation like literally instantaneously, which is
That's amazing.
wild. And everybody, so the first, one of the first, I went to past life regression training and I loved it. And you're practicing on each other, but everybody there is like on board, right? But then I came home and I was like, I need a real guinea pig, right? So I used my brother-in-law, who literally, when I like made him watch the informational videos, cracked open a beer and was watching these videos. And I was like, No, like we were
Yeah.
about to go to spiritual. What do you do? But that's the level that we were at, which was great because it was like, if he can do past life regression, anybody can do past life regression work, right?
Absolutely.
And just kidding, Pete, I love you. So anyway, I took him out back and like led him through this regression, and he's given me permission to like, you know, talk about him as a guinea pig. But he was having trouble sleeping and he slept that night for
That's
like a
amazing.
very long time. He had like a lot of anxiety around a certain situation, and that started to uncover itself,
Yes.
reveal itself. And it was really beautiful to see. And at the end, he was
Yep.
seeing crazy colors. He was having like a physical experience in the healing realms. And he was, I mean, he snapped out of it and was like, "What did you just do to me?" You know, I was like, oh,
That's
I've done
amazing.
that. And you,
Yeah.
I love that. It's like, it's real to me. Like that is, I mean, definitively real.
That's what I think is coming out, is that these different adjuncts we can have to traditional healing, if that's our choice to go down that path, they're amazing. They're amazing to kind of delve into. I was listening to, I'm slowly making my way through the telepathy tapes.
Love.
And I think like around episode 7, they're talking about how the autists are possibly going to hold answers for our future. And then they were kind of talking about like almost like medical intuitive information they were
Yeah.
getting. I don't think they named it that way, but
A
I
hundred
was
percent.
like, wow. So I was going to ask
Yeah.
you know, if it feels comfortable, it's like, what do you feel the future of healing is for humanity?
I love that. And one of the things I love about the telepathy tapes is, you know, they say everybody has this capacity. We all have this capacity to operate on these higher, more connected levels where we're opening ourselves up to higher consciousness and answers and the things. And I think one of the things I love about astrology is there is that medical component to it. Like, you know, RX that they write on the
Yeah.
prescribing physicians, that means radix. It's that's the word for natal chart. A doctor was basically had to put that saying, I have looked at a medical chart, I've looked at the astrology horse, like at the horoscope, and
Yes.
I'm now prescribing this for someone.
Yes.
And you know, like up until the 16th century, you had to pass your astrology classes as a physician. And the caduceus is Mercury's staff. It's like that is the symbol for the
That's
medical.
fascinating.
Like it's all
Yeah.
interconnected, right? And so I think you just kind of follow the breadcrumbs. That's what
Okay.
we're all doing. And for me, the breadcrumb was like leading me to the astrology and the shamanism and the thing.
Yes.
And for
Yes.
you, the breadcrumb is like talking to people and getting the voices out and collating all this information. It's, but I do think that we are, you know, we're at a point where there's really interesting ingresses this year. All the outer planets have ingressed into a new sign. It's like we're in this constant state of evolution and opening and consciousness follows. And so I think the access that we have is getting easier and easier. And it used to be, I mean, earlier in my, I took psychic mediumship training. I've taken several trainings. You know, they would say that once upon a time, in order to really psychically read someone well, you had to hold, it was like easier to hold the person's watch or like an article or something physical, right? Because the energy was kind of denser. And they're like, now it's becoming so much easier to just intuit from
That's
this,
cool.
you know, heart to
Yes.
heart, like time space
Yes.
is becoming less interconnected and it's becoming lighter.
Okay.
So I thought
You
that was
know,
interesting.
that's really interesting. That's really, yeah, it's more accessible. I was going to ask because it's a newbie question, but I told you last week that I started listening to astrology recently, a few months ago, out of the blue. And I've always thought, like, I can't understand that. And then, but it's like background music. And then I'm just willing to enjoy it like that right now.
Us more.
But I was going to say, is it something to do with, like, if everything is energy, that all the different planetary aspects have different energies? And it was like, and this may be off base, but like when we're born in the conjunction of the planets and the moon and the sun, it's like, are they energetically like crossing one another that creates something?
Yeah. So the thing is like we can't really say the why. There's a lot of Barbara Hanclough has talked about this, like in her books about how scientists have tried to understand like how we can scientifically understand astrology. And I think they're making headway and hopefully they will at some point, but we don't really understand the why as much, so much as we know that like through observing and correlating and testing it, it's like
Yes.
these are the principles, and this is how, like it operates in this way, but we don't really know the how. And so there's a little bit of like a leap of faith. But I think the way you described it is how I would describe it. It's like each planet has an energy and a function, and then each sign colors that function, and then each house placement sort of shows how and where it shows up, and then the aspects that they make create even more energetic frequency of like either ten stress or ease or whatever, and then that's what you're working with, and then how the current planets are transiting affects and lights those things up, and so then you feel that in your life, and it's just like I said, I think being conscious of it is it's like better to be forearmed, forewarned and forearmed, right? It's like then you can use it, and even when you're conscious, you can still have choices. I called my brother on the Scorpio full moon and picked a fight with him, even though I knew I should, it's like I shouldn't have done that. It's like emotional tensions were running high. We've just gotten out of this Pluto Mars opposition, which if you've noticed people acting kind of wackadoodle the last few weeks and really like it's, those purgative sort of intense forces that have been in opposition, so kind of locked in this battle, and then you throw in a Scorpio full moon on top of it, you're asking for like tensions to reach a breaking point. And even being forewarned and forearmed, I still chose to call my brother and be annoyed with him and,
That's so funny.
whatever. So it's a bit, and then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is why. This is what, but
I felt this new like part of me coming forth. Like it started about a month or 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago, and it makes me see like how I know that I've mended some people pleasing ways and some, but still like as a woman acquiesce and using my voice in my, because I can use my voice all day long in the podcast and then I go into my house, right? And
totally.
that's a whole different story.
Totally.
But I found like this fierceness coming out, and it's an interesting energy because it's not anger. It kind of feels like that, but it's more of an empowered, like, oh, okay, it's cleaner.
I love that. I love that. And that's the thing. It's like the energies are going to be the energies, but then how they operate for each individual is going to be dependent on their natal chart, where they're on the soul's evolution, and what their choices are to do with that, right? So it's like it comes back to it being very personal. And I think it's great that there's astrology podcasts and topics about the broader transits and what the broader energies are, but then it's like, where does that show up for you? How does that show up for you, and how can you use it? And that's where I think ritual is really powerful, knowing. I mean, we've for thousands of years, humans have always wanted to dance with the cosmos, right? We've always wanted to celebrate at the equinox and the solstice and do the ceremonies, and ritual is art. It's like a communication with the higher realms. We all know that, spirit or the energy of spirit is like waiting to help us. Your angels are waiting to help you, but the etiquette is you have to ask for help. And so ritual is one of the ways that you can use those powerful times to do that, again, having wind at your back. And so depending on everybody's unique chart, there are going to be certain days of the year where it's going to be a really good time to do prayers for this, or a really good time to help someone with that. Or you know what I mean? It's like
Yes,
it has to
absolutely.
come back to the individual. And I think we can get lost, like I said, in this, like my friend who was listening to the general vibes and then took that really personally. And it's like that can get tricky, right? Because it's not going to be applicable to everybody. It's going to be applicable to people in different ways.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I like the aspects of how, like, you were describing the physical sensitivity that you had in your physical constitution for the mold and that kind of thing. And that's important to know about ourselves, because if we're physical, I know during these times we're living in what's being called more chaotic times in this outer world, and we have to understand how sensitive we are. Like if we're very sensitive beings, and if that's good or not for us to be ingesting.
I think it is like healing happens on physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels, really. And you can see that in your chart too, like the physical makeup and kind of what your constitution's like, and same with the emotional and the spiritual constitutions and where you can go to accelerate your healing. But I think we forget. We either focus on the physical, we work out and we eat healthy, but then our mental and spiritual practice, if it's not acknowledged, like that will fester and it will sh rear its ugly head in weird and vicious ways. Or, you can go through the spiritual bypassing thing where you're just doing the emotional, spiritual thing and you forget that you live in a physical body and a physical container and don't honor that too. And I think there's a balance and a blend, right? And I gave an astrology talk at the Evolutionary Astrology Conference last year, and one of the conclusions I had is, like, with the world we're living in and the amount of chemicals, I mean, it's like hundreds of thousands of chemicals in our environment at any given moment, from beauty products in the air, in our water, in our soil, in the clothing we wear. It can get overwhelming. And then the pesticides on the food, and feeling like, oh my gosh, you can get neurotic about being clean, leaving a clean life, like to the point where it's almost an impossibility. And that can cause an intense amount of depression and anxiety if you let it, right? And so there was a really interesting study done. It was in the 70s of grad students that were feeding rabbits like a high cholesterol diet. And they found that there was one subset of rabbits that was completely unaffected. And what they found was the grad student was petting this rabbit and loving it and playing with it. And so it was in this really high vibe, nurturing, loving state while it was eating these horrible diet. And so there is this like balance that has to happen, right? If you go into that depressive, fear-based state, you're going to lower your vibration, and those chemicals and pesticides are going to be able to take you down. And if you keep the vibration high and you're doing your work on spiritual, emotional, mental levels, then you can withstand the environment that is a little bit challenging, right?
Yes,
There's like
that's
finding that balance. And but it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm just high vibe all the time, so I'll just guzzle this horrible food. It's you can just choose to make good choices.
Yeah, I love that. That's good. Bess, as we kind of round out, I just wanted you to speak a little bit to just your retreat space and where you've chosen to live and do this work, and how that kind of like supports you in what you're
Yeah,
doing.
thanks. We're in New York City, and I had like a full-on breakdown where I was living with my husband, his brother's girlfriend, like two other dudes in New York. I was, trying to meditate, and I didn't have like a single corner to myself. And I just lost it one day and was like, I can't do this anymore. And Christian found an old home that was in foreclosure and said, why don't we fix this up and you can build a retreat center, you can teach yoga and meditation. And we went to that place and it was horrible. You could have put, I mean, all the money in the world in that place and it still would have fallen down. But it opened up the avenue where we decided this is what we're going to do. And when he found this place and I stood in the center of the land, I knew it was a place of healing and it was a place of manifestation. And that's been confirmed through many spiritual guides who have been through here and felt the same thing. And I remember I had my husband, like, in New York City. I was like, I need a piece of dirt from that land. And he was like, you're nuts. He took his golf club out when the real estate agent wasn't looking, and he whacked the dirt and brought this like clump of dirt to me. And I put it in this bowl. I could go get it to you and show it to you. Put it in this bowl. I did ceremony. I asked, that if this land was right for us, it was in the highest and best. I cast runes. They were like, this is your house. And my husband came back and was like, we lost the house. And I said, what do you mean we lost the house? He said, the bank won't appraise it for what they want for it. We don't have the money to do it. Like, it's gone. Move on. Like, on to the next. And I said, absolutely not. That is our house. I don't care what you have to do. Go talk to him. Go have lunch with him. Go talk to the real, like, I know this is our house. I'm not moving on. And everybody thought I was nuts. And I told him what I thought we could get the house for, and he made it happen. It just
Wow.
worked out. And I have done a lot of work on the land consistently, through ceremony, through, the cycles of nature, the new moons, the full moons, the solstices of things, and built a relationship with this land. And the intent was that it would be a place of healing. And so the retreats that we're hosting and hoping to host are, yoga. I teach energy healing here. I'd like to get some astrology retreats up and going. We have an Airbnb that people rent out, and in the cottage in the carriage house, that they can come and experience the land and we can work one-on-one. But the place is from the 1790s, and I always say, like, you don't own this land, right? Like, you are a steward. Your job is to make it better than you found it. And that's on the physical and the energetic levels as well. And that's what we're trying to do. And for the time that we're allowed to be here, that's our mission.
Yeah, I love that. And surrounded by animals too. Yeah,
You'll
that's
have to
good.
come visit, Maureen, anytime.
I know. It sounds just like a beautiful space and just such respect for the land and everything you've shared today, Bess. It's just got a really deep respect and honor to what you've chosen to study in your life. And I think that's really important because it's like mad respect for all these things that have been laid out over time. So Thank you for sharing everything. And if you want to share your website or where anyone can find you, please do so.
Yeah, I will. It's wholeheartedlivings.com is my astrology site, and Welcome House Farm is the farm site. And I'll send you the links if you want to post them.
Oh, yeah, I'll put them in the show notes.
Well, I love what you do, and I'm so grateful to be
Oh,
here.
thank you. Yeah.
I think it's just great what you're putting out in the world. The vibe is so needed. So thank you
Oh,
for doing what
thank
you
you.
do.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I get to do what I love and make it available to the masses. So thank you for being here. Thanks to the listener, as always, for being here. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.